everyone, and welcome to this special sunrise call on this beautiful Sunday morning, Christmas Eve. I am happy that we're all here together once again in this safe space that's filled with love, compassion, and a desire to heal, starting with ourselves and our families. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I am so honored and happy to have Kyle here with us this morning. Kyle is our eldest son. He was last year with us about a little over a year ago on November 27th, 2022. And in that particular call, on that particular day, our focus was hope and faith. And I'm looking at my daily word from that day when Kyle was last here with us, and it says, I say no to pessimistic or hopeless notions that may have crept into my thinking, dimming my hope and weighing on my mind and heart. I turn hopelessness into hope. I say yes to goodness and positivity. I feel a sense of renewed hope dawning within me, a promise that something wonderful is on its way. In these moments, I feel my faith reborn. I reaffirm my belief that no earthly condition, no worldly circumstance is greater than spirit. This is where I place my faith. I perceive them more readily in others. I grow in faith that together we have the power to create the world of our highest imaginings. So today, as I think back to when Kyle was with us here on Sunrise over a year ago, I'm still in a space of hope, and I'm also extraordinarily grateful. I am grateful for first, all of the incredible birthday messages from many of you that are here with us this morning. Thank you for those. They were beautiful and literally brought me to tears. Thank you. I'm so grateful for all of our many volunteers and experts who are here every week and who've been with us on this journey for the past almost 4 years. I'm grateful that I've learned how to focus my attention on the good things, the positive things. I'm grateful that even when there are tough moments, we're working through them and that we're not perfect, but we are working through them. It's still a journey. Most importantly, I'm grateful that Kyle is alive and he's here, and I am blessed by that. So this morning, we're going to have a conversation with Kyle. Kyle's going to do the talking. I'm going to ask a series of a few questions, but really a conversation. And so, Kyle, I'd love to talk about your journey the past 4 years and really the past year, and what has happened over the past year. This time last year, you had not started at UC Boulder, and then you said you wanted to go to school. So can you talk about that? Why did you decide you wanted to go to school and why Boulder?
After my crib got robbed, I decided that I probably wanted to go to school just because I lost a lot of belongings and everything. And I just didn't want to have those people be around anymore. So I figured it was probably good for a change of scenery. And I went and visited Boulder. I had been there before, so I ended up applying. I got in, obviously, and I was picking between that and Miami, but I ended up liking Boulder more. So I committed there. And then I started school last or the spring semester was my first semester of college at the beginning of 2023. So I did that, which was good. Made some friends, obviously, and then came back and started again this past fall semester.
And what was the experience like out there in terms of hanging out, being on your own?
Oh, it's pretty easy. Not, I mean, like socially at least, just talking to people, going around. I don't know. I feel like pretty comfortable going to the new places all the time. So for me, at least, it was nice just meeting new people and not hanging out, with new groups of people. I definitely enjoyed that. It's a good time. Dion coming to the school was.
Deion Sanders.
Yeah, that was nice. So that was a nice addition, obviously, especially once football season started. because he brought like a different environment to the school, which I thought was really cool. Everyone's taught was talking about it a lot. But overall, it was a pretty good year, I'd say.
So in terms of, I know before you went there, you were doing, marijuana and other partaking in other things. Did that change when you went to Boulder?
No, it's what changed like before I went for the most part, just because
In terms of not doing marijuana or what?
yeah,
Which
I
part?
wasn't smoking as much before I went because it was just, I don't know, it's just my lungs were kind of beat up from a lot of the nicotine and backwoods and everything in Atlanta. And
You said nicotine and what? Back what?
backwoods, and
What
I
is that?
just
Backwards.
spliffs and blunts, so just take out the tobacco, or I just roll it with the tobacco in it, which was not so good for my lungs because I was just all day every day. But then once in Colorado, by that point I wasn't really smoking as much, so every once in a while or something, but I wouldn't really smoke. And then this semester I didn't smoke, yeah, maybe once or twice, but not really. It's a, I don't know, I can't kick that habit. The nicotine's harder for sure,
You're
just
still
because
doing nicotine.
no, there's like pouches though, and I don't smoke it.
Pouches. Patches. Okay.
Yeah, because that's a hard habit to kick for. But yeah, it's okay. It's nothing that crazy with like drugs or anything right now, so that's good.
Have
But
you
yeah.
shifted to other modes of, sometimes people use alcohol or other things to numb either pain or trauma or not deal with certain things in our lives? Do you feel like you do that at all?
I would say I do that to not deal with certain things, but I do obviously go out on the weekends. I drink. Maybe I have drank more than the past, but that I feel like that's after I stopped smoking. So maybe that was a little bit of a substitute, I guess.
Do you think that the environment in Colorado contributed to that, or you would have done that anyway, and you do that anyway, like the college environment, particularly in Colorado?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I did that anyway. I mean, in Atlanta, I was just, it wasn't a college environment. It was just me and like my two neighbors and then like the plug. So we would just hang out and then I'd go to work and come back, have some beers, and it was depressing. Yeah. But it was also eye-opening. So glad I did it because it shows me like where I don't want to be, obviously.
What was depressing when you say it was depressing? Going to work and coming back, or what part was depressing?
No, that was pretty lonely, actually. Well, just because if my neighbors weren't, I don't really, in Atlanta, I actually did not have that many friends. Like, I had the work friends, and a few friends from like Georgia State, but like the only people that I was really, really close with, like, were like my next door neighbors. And then I don't know, I just didn't see them every day. So then a lot of days I'll just come home and just
Be by
work,
yourself.
yeah, work out, make dinner. Watch some TV, take a shower, and wake up, go to work, which is like fine, but that was hard at first, at least. Yeah.
So transitioning from Atlanta back home was hard for all of us, would you say? Some of the boundaries and that you
Yeah.
can you talk about that? Like, what
I
does it
think
feel like being back home at times?
chill for the most part, fine, but I didn't really. Like, I don't know, I don't follow rules a lot of the time, so
That
that was bad.
He said, "I don't follow rules most of the time."
That
Why is that, Kyle?
was not good. Well, no, especially that this smoking thing at the time was a whole like issue because I didn't go outside for whatever reason. That's stupid. But or the garage was like not outside. That was a whole like thing that we had. And then I guess working with you sometimes you'll get upset or we'll have like the little disagreements about me not getting up for like to work with you or something because I was out there because I wanted to see my friends. So that was definitely another, that's like the main one actually.
Yeah, I'm glad you acknowledge that. So what he's talking about is, Kyle is an incredible employee at times. He worked on the David and Tamela Mann tour last year, and then I did a great job as a production assistant on the tour. And then this week was a production assistant for one of our Color Purple screenings that we did for a client. And Kyle said, "I'd love to work with you, Mom. Can I work tomorrow?" And I said, "Sure. Let's start at 10."
Did not say it like that. I get
Okay.
that is not true.
Did you say, "Can I work?" What did you say? Tell me what you said, because maybe I heard it
You asked
incorrectly.
like when I wanted to go back to school, and I said like I don't know, like around this time. And then you said, "Well, wouldn't you want to go back to start work earlier?" And I was like, "It depends, because I would probably be working with you over that time." And then you asked if I wanted to do it tomorrow. I said, "Yeah, I'll probably wake up tomorrow." But I wasn't like, "Yes, I would love to wait."
He wasn't gung-ho, like, "Yes, I would love to do that." But
Yeah.
did you feel like saying yes was an acknowledgement of, "Yes, I'll be up at 10," or no? Because that might be the disconnect. I heard, "Yes, I'll be up at 10."
I didn't say yes, I'll be up at
I know.
10. That's not what I
So
said.
what did you say?
You asked if I would be willing to get up tomorrow. I said maybe I said I'll maybe be up in the morning. Like that's
Got it.
not like I'm going to be up. Like
Got it. So that's the disconnect, and that's helpful to know. Because I think that caused me
no,
to
then
be
you're
really
really
upset.
mad. Like
Yes.
you didn't wake up, like honor your commitment. Like you said you were gonna be up. That's a lie. You're a liar. I was like, I don't know.
I don't think I said you're a liar, but I
No,
did say you lied. Oh, I did.
you're really bad.
Yeah. So I have a challenge with there's this book called The Four Agreements, and the first one is about honoring your
No, and
commitments.
say no, I understand integrity. Yeah,
So I heard, "I'll be up at 10." And you're right, you probably said,
I understand
"I might get up."
that.
And so Kyle came upstairs about what time? Like
Late.
6 p.m. Like a
No,
good morning at 6 p.m. So he was out all night, and which also causes a little bit of fear. Quite honestly, we live in a predominantly white environment. And so I work on faith over fear, but it's still there. And so the last few days have been challenging. Would you agree? After that one night,
We had some disagreements.
we had a really good night Wednesday night, and I was
Oh,
thinking
the Color
the
Purple night.
Color Purple screening, and we watched the movie together.
Yeah, it was a good day.
It was a good day. It was a good evening. And so I was thinking, "Oh, we're really gonna have a great week." And then the next day just was different. And what I'm hearing now, which is helpful, is that the way you articulated, "I might get up," I took as, "Yes, I'll get up and I'll be there at 10." So I have to listen differently, and we need to communicate better, probably. Is that fair? Yeah. Okay. Super helpful. Super helpful. What would you say? I know you're looking at moving to Los Angeles and doing some different things. Can you tell people about that? Your vision for what might be happening in the future?
I'm most likely transferring to LA City College, or I want to get LMU, but I got to get my grades a little bit better.
And
So,
LMU is what?
Loyola Marymount, it's in LA also.
But you have
And
to
I would
do
be,
what? You said you have to get your grades better.
yeah, a little
Okay.
better, or because my first grades are not. But yeah, I'm gonna go out there. Me and some of my other friends that make music are gonna go look at places like a little bit outside the city because the city's expensive. And then I'll hopefully be able to do online school from there or transport, one of the two. I've been looking into it. But I want to have an audio engineering degree so I can be in the studio mixing music or mix audio for commercials, movies, like that type of thing. Just be able to edit audio well. And then realistically, I want to be an actor and make music. So those are my main two things that I want to be in LA for, to like utilize the area. But I also just want to be around regardless. So if I'm not doing that, I want to be doing something behind the camera with production or music wise, like editing audio. I feel like if I have an audio engineering degree, I can apply that to a lot of different things. So I'll be out there doing my thing.
Awesome. So as you think about the next week here, the next holiday week, what advice would you give me and other parents in terms of how we communicate and how we deal with our children, our young people, our young adults.
I would just say just to enjoy the time you have with your family while you have the time with your family, because we're all getting older, the time's flying. In a few years, I'll probably have my own spot with, I don't know what girl I'll be with, but whatever I am. And then you start seeing, you see the family like a little less and less each year. So that's just how it goes. Because it used to be every day, like every day with the family. And then they start taking like field trips when they're younger. And then later, it's, trips with friends. And then it's whatever it is, college, and they're gone. Or if it's not college, they're living on their own. Yeah. And the next thing you know, your kid's 20, 21, 30. So I don't know. I would just say just spend the time with your kids as much as you can over the breaks. Yeah, that's about it. I don't know how, I mean, communication is good,
Communication is key.
so the breaks aren't stressful or as stressful
What
either.
makes it
So
stressful?
I'm never stressed.
You're
Okay,
never
not
stressed.
like for you. I'm personally always level-headed, I feel.
Well, how
But
can
just in
parents
general.
be less stressed if our children aren't necessarily living by our rules or our boundaries? Do you think we should just not have any boundaries?
Okay, no, I didn't, I'm
But
not,
what
that's not
should
what
we
that's,
do? Right,
that's
I know. So
wasn't
what
what I was
should
about
we
to say.
do? I'm asking for advice. So
I don't know, patience is hard. Patience is a virtue. I don't
is
know.
it patience is a virtue?
Yeah, like dad is very, very, very calm and patient. Kind of tries to like, we'll have like a conversation about certain things if he gets mad. I feel like just trying to stay level-headed with those type of things. I don't know. I don't know. Hey, that's my best advice. Like, because stuff's always, I feel like, gonna happen unexpectedly sometimes. But if you respond like really negatively to like whatever happens, then like you're just like recipro I don't know. I don't like you're reciprocating the negative
The
emotion, like
energy.
yeah, like back into the environment. So what I try to do is if something like makes me stressed, is to like walk away or stay calm. I do that a little too much sometimes. Sometimes I'll just like ignore
Not
people.
engage, and you ignore people, which also can be infuriating for the
Yeah.
other person.
Yeah, I just want them to say anything, which is not the best thing to do. But it's my personal way of dealing with when I get upset.
Is it
So I
like a
don't know.
timeout? You're like taking a timeout, but not communicating that you're taking a timeout? Is that what it is?
I don't know. I feel like honestly, when I would used to get upset and I would like yell and like do all that stuff, it would just like make everything worse. And then like they're gonna like want to yell or something. But then I realized when I'm trying to communicate something to someone and they ignore me like completely, that would actually like make me so much worse. Like it would make me think about it, and that would actually like it would make me upset. But I'm not gonna keep like trying to like engage and like something like with a brick wall. I'm not gonna go try to talk to a brick wall. Like I'd rather like have a conversation later when I'm level-headed and don't respond. That dad always says, what do you say? He said, my father always taught me never to argue with fools because from a distance it's hard to tell who's who. So like if you just see two, I don't know, like two dummies like down the street having an argument, you're not gonna be any, and it's you're down the street, you're not gonna be able to see their faces. You're just gonna see two people arguing. So they're in the same boat. So I don't know. I personally just try not to involve myself with that type of thing, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. I want to, someone says, I love that saying, what you just said, the dad said,
Yeah, that's it.
which is awesome. I want to see if anybody has any questions for Kyle since he's here. I'm happy that you're here.
I
And
do. It's
hey, Susan.
I'm Susan.
Hey, Susan. Hi, Kyle.
How are you doing?
I'm good. So I have a question about your music, and what is it about music that you love in making it, and how does it make you feel, and why you chose to, dive into music?
That's a good question. I've been making music for probably about like 6 years now ish. It's 6 years. I always loved it growing up. It was always a good way to kind of disconnect from things. Like if I'm trying to get motivated for something, I would want to listen to music. If I was feeling sad about something, I'm always listening to music. So I feel like I always listened to music more than I did most things growing up. Other than I guess run outside, play basketball, and swim. But I've always like had that. So for me, it's just something that I like really connected to. And once I started making it myself, it was like a different level of that. Like if I'm angry at something, then I don't have to necessarily like go like yell at someone. I can just go, to my microphone. Or if I'm sad about something, I can just go to my microphone. And it mixes as well with other things that I'm doing or want to talk about, how I'm feeling. When I was still like smoking and doing like that, I would smoke and I'm going to make some music like right after that. It's just like something I love to do always. And I feel like it's one of the few things where even if I'm not able to make it myself and make money off of it for whatever reason, or I stop making money, like I would wanna, and I'm doing something else, I would still probably do that in my free time. So like it's something that I don't think I'll ever stop doing. So if I could do that professionally, like I would 100% do that. I feel like it's a matter of time. But I know I have to like put in work for that. So yeah, I don't know. I love it. I love it. I don't think I'll ever stop loving it. I was an hour ago. I had my headphones in, just waking up, playing some. I don't even remember. I think it was. Actually, I just watched 8 Mile last night. It just,
Eminem.
I mean, I've seen
Was that
that.
your first time watching it?
No. I've seen that like 30 times. I love that movie.
I was about to say, okay.
No, but
Okay.
I just, I don't know. That type of thing gets me motivated a lot. Just seeing how other people perceive it and talk about it, utilize it. So yeah, music's a
Yeah,
huge thing.
your energy even just shifted just now in talking about it. Your energy shifted. So I can tell that you love it. That's good. Thank you, Kyle. I love you.
Amazing. There's yeah.
I see.
Kelly?
Yes, hello. Good
Kelly?
morning. I'm
Hi, Kyle. It's Dr. McGee. How are you?
good. How are you?
I'm well. I have a question for you because I'd like for you to speak to, like, now that you're of a certain age, what are some of the things that you're figuring out for yourself, right? To that you can tell parents that they can sort of see that their child is progressing. What are some of those life lessons that you're figuring out?
That's a good question.
That's a great question.
I feel like it's like self-identity was like a big thing for a while, just because like
Self-identity.
because I don't know, like you have so many different like phases and different friend groups that you're gonna be in. Every year it feels like I have a few new interests or interests that I like last year that are gone or I don't appreciate anymore. Like you're every day, like you're looking in the mirror, your face is changing, your responsibilities are changing, things that you like are looking forward to, or looking towards in the future as options for what you want to do with your life and what you want to pursue. Like those things are also changing. So I guess like self-identity, is probably the biggest thing. Realistically, because like the person I was last year is completely different than the person I am now, and like I know in a year from now it's going to be different as well. So trying to like find that is interesting. And I don't know, I just kind of try to stay open to like a lot of possibilities, and open to like a lot of opportunities that may come, like emotionally, like opportunity, like work opportunities. Opportunities with okay. You looked at me like,
You didn't say anything. You felt perfect. I just looked at you.
Okay, I did. I missed
Yes,
a
I
little bit,
did.
but yeah, those type of things.
We'll take your card at the end.
Hear some background noise. I'm not sure. So, Dr. Linda, did he answer your question?
Well, that was one thing, I
That was
guess.
one thing. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know. I think that's the biggest thing, at least for me. Yeah, obviously, financial responsibility is a thing that I've not been too good at so far. But and then also just like growing up, and seeing part of growing up is just like seeing all your people and like people that you may be close to go their separate ways, which is like fine for me, because, well, at least for me specifically, because I've been to like a lot of rehabs, and then you like get close to these people and then you never see them again, and then you get closer than it, like, so that's been a lot for at least at first for me it was a lot, just because you get, once you get so close to those type of people, you think that they're gonna be like, you're gonna see them all the time, you're gonna go travel and see them, and then the time goes by, and then next thing you know, you're closer with someone else just because of the circumstance, and those last people, so sometimes I'll try to call someone that I haven't talked to like in a long time from a rehab, or I called one of my friends from Atlanta recently, but in general I don't talk to them like on a regular basis anymore, like rarely. So it's also interesting like seeing that, how that goes. I feel like some people have a little tough time, like if they have to, just try to go make new friends or go to college or whatever it is, and then everyone from your back home friends go their separate ways, like your college friends go their separate ways. Like, I think that it's interesting, and a lot of people go through that. So I think that's probably something that a lot of people go through. I don't know. But for me, I feel like I'm more, way more comfortable with like being like alone, because I'm like, no matter where I go, I know, because now that I've done it enough, I know no matter where I go, I'm gonna have friends, and I'm gonna have a friend group, there's gonna be girls, like those type of things I'm secure about. But I think that's part of getting older as well.
It surprising? Is it harder than you thought it would be?
Not at this point, no. I think it's, I don't know, I think it's probably easier actually, because it's just you kind of just have to take a step out there, I think, sometimes. But like, once you, I feel like that's a skill, your skill you kind of learn. Like, because the first time when I went to wilderness, that was like scary a little bit, just because I didn't know, obviously I didn't know anyone, and I didn't know I was like going. But then you're also like thinking about things that you can't control, like what's going on back home, like what are my friends doing without me. But then after a while, like since I like miss like all these things, then like I like lost like the like fear of like missing out after a while. Like it took a while. Like I would still, but I don't know. That's I feel like it takes a like practice to get over that. I'm not sure.
Well, thank you so much for answering my questions. I love you, Kyle.
I love you. So, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Linda. And I see, Dee, your hand has been up for a minute. Did you want to come off mute and say something?
Hi, yes. Good morning, Kyle.
Good
Good
morning.
morning.
How are you doing?
So listen, first of all, thank you for being here today and being so transparent. Listening to you, this is the first time that I've really had the chance to hear you speak. And also listening to you, I see how many parallels you have to my son. You've known my son Lawrence since you guys were little,
I'm
not four or
sorry.
five, but being apart for so many years, you guys are so much the same. Like hearing your story is, and what's in your home is exactly the same things that are happening here. And what I think you're very aspirational. The fact that you're willing to go anywhere, you're willing to live anywhere, to do the things that you want to do, pretty much the same with Lawrence. But this is a conversation that I had with him just the other day. So I'm going to ask this question of you because he's unable to articulate this response. So I'm curious your thoughts on this. Are you aware, Kelly mentioned being brought up in a predominantly white neighborhood, and schooling, same situation with Lawrence and the communities that we placed you guys in when you're growing up. But are you aware of how threatening your bigness is as a Black man? You're very successful in your own right, academically, athletically, musically. You've got all these things going for you, but do you know how you're perceived by others? How people may feel that as being threatening by just you being you? And if so, understanding this, does this impact how you view the world and how you interact, specifically with these next few moves that you're going to make? Like Lawrence too wants to go out to LA because the Olympics will be there in 2028. And I'm afraid, I'm going to be honest. He is not. I am. Because just for being him, that's enough for people to view him differently, treat him differently, and all of those things. So I'm wondering if you, Kyle, know this about yourself, how awesome and great you are, and the fact that people see your awesomeness and greatness and may treat you differently, not positively, purely because they feel threatened by your bigness. Does that make sense? I know that was a lot.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's interesting. I've had a lot of different thought processes with that, like over the year, because like there's certain times where like you can feel like a little out of place because it's like a lot of white people, and then and, like obviously the ratios, the pool of diversity is very shallow, so that can be a lot. But then at the same time, with that being said, it always makes me want to like. Having stood out already, it makes me like I felt at least growing up want to stand out more with things I did, whether that was swimming, basketball, etc. I definitely know it's dangerous, just being a Black man in America in general. But that being said, there's nothing much I can do other than like hold my head high and like how I present myself to other people. So being a Black man in America, I'd rather like I want to be someone that is a well-kept, good-looking, confident Black man versus trying to worry about what other people think. Especially like in Atlanta, interestingly enough, like a lot of people, like I would be more concerned like if I'm walking down the street and I have like a chain on, like someone's gonna like, because people will always be trying to like tug on my clothes and like roast me all the time, saying like, just because like if I'm looking good, like they'll be like, all right, like pretty boy, like or just chirping me. But at the same time, that's because they're not like threatened by me. So if it's like in a white neighborhood where I could be wearing something like that, they like might silently think it and just not say it, So I just try to do the best I can. I don't know. Yeah, it is definitely a completely different like living in. Or like living in Atlanta when I was there, like Midtown versus like and then Midtown still so many white people too, but like versus like Whitman especially was that was interesting. That was really, really interesting. So it's like nice, like when we used to go like see my cousins, like just to like have more culture, just to go hang with like dad's side of the family, like go see like Dust and like Rico, like Uncle Ricky, like that was always good for me. And like going to my cousin's house or going to Wanda's house, like I definitely feel like I needed that for sure. But at the same time, now that I've like just grew up around it, I'm kind of used to just being around like anyone. But I definitely understand what you're saying. Like there's certain places I actually like am like more concerned than others. Like I wouldn't want to be alone by myself in like the middle of like Pennsylvania or like certain parts of like Virginia, like versus like even though I grew up in a really white area, it's also like a it's not like a hick white area. It's just like a it's a very liberal white area. I feel like I'd be more concerned about like conservative whites than like liberal whites, and like not all conservative white people. I just mean like conservatives in certain places for sure. Like
So,
for
Kyle, when I said threatening, I wasn't really thinking like physically threatening, like you hurt somebody. I think more, I was thinking more in the sense of outshining other people. And this is more so within, I mean, it's Black, the white community, but also within the Black community. You know, even measuring yourself against your peers, the people that you hang out with, you know, we're not always on the same level. So that's what I meant. Because we go through this as women, professional women. Not everyone is on your same trajectory. And because you have access to so many resources and you're doing great things, your friends may
Sorry.
not be on that same level. So I meant more so that way, not physically threatening.
Okay, I got like haters and stuff.
So yeah, I wasn't going to use that word, but that's exactly it.
Okay, yeah, I like that a lot actually. Well, because like for you to have people that hate on you, you have to be doing something good. So I kind of like having like a few people that I'm like, all right, like he might not rock with me, but like that's because I'm cool or like I'm doing something. So personally, like I like having that actually. And then also I like having people, you know, that support you and help you out. But I feel like it's nice to have some of both sometimes because it gives you like a little I feel like a little bit of each is nice. Because I feel like if you're only getting like positive, there's gonna be like some silent hate in there anyways. Like someone that doesn't want to see you succeed that's gonna act like they want to see you succeed. But I don't really care what anyone thinks regardless. So that didn't like apply to me for a second. But I think it's like a hard thing to like if you like sit and like think about that. So that I just try to like stay in my own lane a little bit, if that makes sense. I
It
don't know.
does. And there is a did that answer your question before I read what's in this chat?
Yes, no, that was great. Thank you.
Okay. There's a question in the
This
chat that
is true.
says, what support systems did you seek out or use while in Colorado to deal with any challenges you may have faced? Did you have any support systems or anyone that you reached out to in Colorado?
I would say like my friends, I guess, helped me a lot.
Like any therapy, any sort of support groups.
Wait, could you
So the question is,
wait,
that's what
I see
support?
the question, but like what
What's the
support systems for like what?
support systems did you seek out or use while in Colorado to deal with any challenges you may have faced? So it's asking if you had any challenges to face, maybe academically or.
Oh yeah, I'd say like the first semester I definitely did not do as like as well as I wanted to academically for sure. Having some friends there to support was nice. Not like the type of because a lot of people rush different fraternities, etc. I did for like a week, but I like that was not feeling that. So at the end of the day, ultimately, all of my friends that I have now and that I had from last semester were in fraternities, so I wouldn't go out as much. Or if I did, it would be somewhere close. I didn't have to like worry about, you know, chapter and all these things. So I think having friends that were more like school focused helped me, and then especially helped me more this semester, just having like a good circle of people around me.
One of the things we talk about a lot here is the importance of therapy. Like I've had a therapist forever, and I know you had therapy in the past. So did you ever think about getting a therapist or working with someone out there or even virtually? What are your
Yeah, we
thoughts?
discussed it. I mean, like, I mean, I feel like everyone could benefit from it, but I didn't. Speaking honestly, like, I didn't go to therapy. Speaking honestly, but yeah, I did think about it. I feel like I would definitely benefit from it if I were to go.
Yeah, there's an organization out there called From the Heart, really good people.
What is that?
It is an organization that deals with young men and young
Okay.
women and
Got you.
in fact, there's a woman who was our guest last week, Kalina Ross Peterson. She's part of that organization. So I can connect you. You can see. Okay. Any other? Oh, and she just put three hearts. Hello, Kalina. Thank you for being here.
Hey, Kelly. Hey, Kyle. This is that. So I have
Yeah, I could
a
tell.
question for you.
I could tell your voice.
actually two parts. One is, have you arrived at a space where you are, and I say this to you often, it's like, you're at a time now where you got to be thinking about the what's next. Is that, are you at a space as far as maturity level where you're now thinking about your life in the space of all those things that happened, all of those teenage, challenges and whatever you needed to go through. But are you at a space where you're like, okay, I got to figure out what's happening with my life and, you know, the what's next. And then the second part of that is when you are making some decisions, which you know may be questionable, whatever, what are you feeling in that moment? Like, when you're like, okay, I really have to get up tomorrow to work with mom, but I want to hang out all night. Like, what is that thing that's controlling what that actual outcome is? Like, okay, I'm gonna go ahead and stay out all night. So what's happening in your brain so that any parent can understand? Cause you know, obviously we don't.
Okay, the first part of the question, I'd say, I was talking a little earlier about going to LA, my plan with living in a career. I don't really want to go into the whole thing again, but I'm going to be in school at LACC, doing college there, living outside the city in LA with Cree, and Dawson and Dawson's brother. So we're going to be out there working on our music thing. I'm going to be working on getting an audio engineering degree. So I explained this earlier. I don't think you're on the call. And then the second part, I don't think I like, obviously I hear what you're saying, like looking forward. Like, I know that like that is a now thing that, to like answer that question, in a more concise matter.
Well, just to be clear, Kyle, what is more like, how do you deal with the instant gratification versus the consequences question that is.
Well, at least for in terms of like this week, like I've been in the studio this week. I have a few more songs I've been writing, working on my editing skills. But in terms of at least like the past, like I know you're referring to like this week. I know in general you're referring to like. But this week, I just wanted to see like some friends I hadn't seen in a while. Like that was like a Tuesday, Wednesday. I worked with mom the other day. Just to answer that question shortly, I just wanted to connect and catch up with a few friends I hadn't seen.
And I'm sorry, I don't want to dominate the comp, but what I'm trying to get to, I know a lot of parents probably feel at times like.
Do you want me to just like talk to you upstairs? Like, why? Like, why?
No. I just want to ask. No. It's a general question just for everybody. Of when you're in a moment where you want to do something that is going to have consequences, like what is that conversation like for you? Do you go, I just need to do what I need to do right now and I'll worry about the consequences later? You know, we can name a billion specific things, but I'm being non-specific in a general way for parents to say, why did my son or daughter, in certain instances, knowing that there's going to be a consequence, still move forward and do whatever that is? And I don't know, if you can't answer it, so you can't answer it. I'm just wondering if there's a thought process where you say something to yourself and what makes you then make that decision to do whatever that instant gratification thing is. If it's, I got to go borrow a car that I'm not supposed to have to go get some nicotine, or I need to go see a girl, but I'm supposed to have something, you know, something like that.
I'd say it sounds like a impulse control. I don't know, when I used to just want to go get high, then I actually was not going to listen no matter what you said, because I preferred getting high over getting in trouble. Like in the past, obviously. Yeah, in general, I guess it's just an impulse thing that you're referring to, or like you just don't care, like depending or mm-hmm. the consequences, like less than I don't know how to describe that realistically. Yeah,
I think it's both, and it's interesting, and I don't know how to die. I mean, I don't know what that is, but I appreciate you being honest. Mm-hmm. It's impulse control and not caring really in the moment, right?
Yeah, except for I'm saying like this week specifically, I wanted to see my friends. And I didn't see how like that was like.
Yeah, I think the challenge and the reason I was so upset this week is
because it's the worry.
Well, it's the worry, but it's also knowing that your goal is to be in Los Angeles, and I heard you say how expensive it is, and you want to get your own apartment, and you're
Yeah,
21.
We've had this conversation like 100 times. Yeah, I don't even.
Right. So the conversation is about
I
how do
guess.
you make money as much as possible, take every opportunity. So, okay. Is there any other question or comment for Kyle? Or do you want to add anything else?
That's
If you're on your phone, you
good.
want to come up. Oh, I hear something. Go ahead.
Hi, Kyle. My name is Sherry, and I just want to just thank you so much and take my hat off to you for having just so much courage to come on and just share your experience with this group. That just means so much. I'm in tears. I have a 16-year-old who's trying to figure this thing out, and most days he is all over the place, and he is very impulsive and stubborn, and he does not see things my way, even though I want what's best for him. But just listening to you share just gives me just a different insight and a different view on how he feels and how he sees things and how he views the world. So I just want to say thank you. I appreciate you so much and good luck. God bless in your music career and in your goals. I just see so such a blessing all around you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. I appreciate you too, Kelly. Thank you guys. Have a great day and Happy New Year's and Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
No,
All
thank you
right.
so much. I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank
Really
you.
appreciate the
This is
comment.
Shawana.
There's a question. Someone says, I may have missed this. Are you going back to Colorado in January?
Yeah, I will be going back to Colorado in January. I'm gonna be working, and I have a new house that I'm almost fully moved into, so I will be over there for the meantime. Yes, in grammar
Awesome.
school.
Did I cut somebody off? Was there another
Kelly,
question? Yes, please go ahead.
Shawana, can I echo caller message? Hal, thank you so much for your message.
We're not hearing.
I am listening to son conversation, and I'm not a fly on the wall, but I'm standing at the door at the entrance listening. But my question to you, Kyle, is I have two kids, and as parents, not and will not be surrounding our children everywhere that we go. And I heard you say, eventually you're going to have your own life and your own family and activities, but that guiding light and star that helps you surround yourself with people, be supportive, you and understand the journey that you're trying to do. Because again, as parents, we're not going to physically be there all the time. And we just want to know that our kids are in the selection process of their friend groups and people that they surround themselves with, that they are supportive, assist them, give them light, they tell them the truth, they're honest. So can you just share a little bit more about your journey in terms of finding groups you?
I think the main thing is I would, and these are people that I'm still not fine with now. Like I don't have anything wrong against any of these people, but a lot of people I used to hang with all the time, it was just to have fun, which is I still have a good time with all my friends that I have currently that have been around for the past few years, from back home especially. And it's just those are the type of people that I would call and check up on me or see how I'm doing. If it depends, if I were in some situation in the middle of the night, I know they're not gonna leave me. If I was if got into something, I know they're not gonna just leave me, which there's certain types of friends in the past that I feel like that would have happened. When I was running from cops and all that stuff, they would help me out, try to figure out where I was. It's not that's not the best in that situation, but it's they were just helping me out, and have my best interests. So I don't know, a lot of my friends in rehabs, they were great people. We got through it together, maybe really close, but they're not the type of person that's going to be super supportive afterwards. So I don't know. It just I don't know. It really started clicking for me when I like when I would go away, and then you come back and they're still there. Like, are there, you know that you don't have to call them all the time or speak to them all the time for them to still like be there. Like those type of people are the ones I like I'm closer to now. Yeah. So my circle is smaller at yeah.
Awesome. Great. Well, we are just about out of time. I appreciate you being here, Kyle, today. Thank you for sharing and being so vulnerable. And people have left beautiful comments about how this has helped them. So, really appreciate you.
Yeah, of course. That
He said, of course. And he wrote me a beautiful card today, which I have a soft heart for handmade things. So thank you for that too. So we are going to wrap up today with this special conversation with Kyle, and appreciate you all being here. Thank you for the questions. Thank you for being part of our village and our family's village. Really appreciate you. And Tierra, if you could close us out with our prayer for today.
So, Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this day, for another Sunrise Sunday. We thank you for this family, for their bravery in opening up their world for public display in efforts not only to heal and grow, but also to help others. We thank you for Kyle and his continued growth. Lord, we pray that you continue to illuminate and stir up the gifts that you have placed within him. We pray that he matures into exactly the man that you have designed for him to be. We pray a hedge of protection over him as he goes on his path, whether he travels to LA or wherever he ends up going. We pray your continued protection over him, God. We thank you for this family. We pray that you continue to bless the Sunrise Project, God. We pray that you draw in gifts and donations so that they can continue this good work. We pray your blessing over each and every person on this call and their families. May they have a peaceful, powerful, positive, and productive week and a happy holiday in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Tierra. I appreciate that. Everybody have a beautiful, beautiful day. Hug your children, love your children, and let's all accept exactly who, as you just said, Tierra, who God has designed them to be. Have a wonderful day, and thank you again for all the birthday wishes and birthday love. I'm off to my favorite place, which is the original Pancake House, for a Dutch baby, and I look forward to a good day. And we'll see you next Sunday again for the Sunrise Project. Thank you, everybody. Have a beautiful day.